forget about Trump's paranoia that Obama is spying on him through his microwave oven. The tech company WeVibe just settled a $3.5 million class action lawsuit over storing information about users' sex toy habits without their knowledge.
It just so happens our friend comedian Jeffrey J uses the smart vibrator to get intimate with his boyfriend over long distances, and now is wondering what to do with the settlement money. Today, Jeffrey J joins us to talk about our sexual anxieties in the digital age. How much does the NSA know about your orgasms? And are we boring if we always eat the same kinds of foods, listen to the same music, and have the same kind of sex?
Plus, Trump thinks Snoop Dogg should get arrested for shooting him in a music video.
Cooking sensation Auntie Fee is on life support after suffering a heart attack.
The AIDS metaphor behind the Disney version of Beauty and the Beast.
And congratulations to RuPaul Andre Labar Nee Charles. RuPaul announces he married his longtime boyfriend, George Labar, in January.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Right now, you're listening to Feast of Fun because for the last 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind, in-depth programming. Won't you take a moment now to ensure that Feast of Fun is around for the future? Visit feastoffun.com/plus and become a member. Make a donation at feastoffun.com/donate or visit our store, feastoffun.com/store.
So, Mark, I decided to automate our podcast with a robot.
Awesome. I'm all for robotics.
Let me turn on the switch.
Hello, Jeffrey J. I am a robot. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You
are transgender, is that correct? And a comedian, too.
I get it. I like that they
programmed. Which bathroom do you use?
Complex questions into you, but didn't.
Are you able to pee in South Carolina or Texas, or do you use a bucket?
It's like a weird robot riddle.
This robot is transphobic. Let me turn it off.
Bad robot.
But can the robot get you off?
I can vibrate in many ways and even accept data from your boyfriend.
Yeah, I think I own a couple of your friends.
There's this vibrator company that's getting sued for $3.75.
Got sued.
Got sued and settled.
They did the payout.
What's the name of the company?
It's called WeVibe. Instead of the iVibe, it's the WeVibe because, you know, more than one person's involved in it. And it's, you know, it's a vibrator that you can hook up to an app and then you can also, you know, have somebody else use it from like across the country. Let's say you're a traveling comedian and you're in a different city and you've got a boyfriend who says, hey, I want to get you off. And then you've just.
Why are you looking at Jeffrey J. like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, if I happen to own a WeVibe version 2.0, that's purple.
You have this.
I do. I own it.
And
yes.
You like it.
I do. Mm-hmm. I also get bored with it, and then I don't use it for like a year.
Yeah.
But we bought it because I do travel a lot, and he's in Chicago, and I'm a lot of times in L.A., and so he has the app on his phone.
And he controls your orgasm.
Yeah. And so you
submit.
Yeah. And then and there's all these different like settings and you swipe left and right and change the settings.
Pre-program stuff?
Yeah, you can pre-program stuff.
Like rainy night in Paris.
Yeah. Well, hold on a second. So you can, instead of like you pleasuring yourself.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend now has to worry about that, and he's not even in the same city.
No, but you know what? It's fun when you're in that mood and you want to like have some actual real intimate time with each other.
And now, then you can hang up the phone when you're done.
Yeah, totally.
I wish I could do that with Mark.
So are you like Skyping as you do this kind of stuff, or is it just like he's just like playing with it, and then you're like. You know, in bed somewhere else.
Well, it used to be we would get on the phone, and then other times, we could Skype. But then they built video and audio into the app.
Oh.
So you can choose whether or not you want it on or off. And also, it sends you a thing that says, do you want to allow control? Mm. So I click yes or no if I want him to be.
And
able to.
Love being submissive, so that's like a huge turn on for you, right?
This is here's the thing. I don't know if it was a joke, but it was spot on.
Okay. Oh, really? Sometimes
I relinquish my power to you.
Yeah,
you know, I have a terrible time of making jokes, and then you know, and the person goes, "How did you know that?"
Yeah,
the
nailing
devil
it.
Told you. Now, is there a way? Like, have you ever been using it, and then all of a sudden you're like, "Wait a second, somebody else is controlling this."
No, I think I'm pretty sure he's pretty predictable. I can tell if it was him or not. But what does happen and what used to happen when there would be updates and stuff, it would just stop working. I would get so frustrated. It'd be like, this is not worth it. It'd be like a bad night of sex where you're like, you just can't keep it up, dude. And so like it was crapping out on me. And I'm like, what's the point? I can have sex with a real dude and have it not work all the time.
Well, guess what? You might be able to get some money out of that because they got sued, right? So there was a class action lawsuit. I don't know if you signed up in time or not, but you can collect up to $10,000.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Get my $235 back.
It all depends
back.
On how many people file claims. Yeah, you can actually get your money back for it. And then people who bought the app will get around $40, and people who use the app around $500. And the reason why they're doing a payout is because without the consumer's permission, they were actually recording how often you got off with it, when you used it, how you used it, the duration of when you used it. And so people were like, that's an invasion of privacy.
Wow.
And then they sold it to the NSA.
Yeah, because that's important.
Because President Trump needs to know when America's...
Who's getting off and when.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't know what it's like when people get off. So he probably does need that information.
And like most of my jokes, they come true.
Yeah. I think I would not take the money. I'd be interested in how often I got off and how long it took and stuff. That's interesting data to me.
Yeah.
I would love to know that information. I'd be shocked at how short of a duration it is.
Well,
sure.
Mark, like, you usually get off before going to bed and you sleep.
Oftentimes, when I wake up. That's my glowy disposition today.
I put on my makeup. Suddenly I stroke off. Well, I mean, for some people, it's like they're an afternoon delight people. Some people are morning people. Some people are evening people.
Depends on where I'm at in my testosterone. Okay. Because if I'm like raging pretty hard, I've got a lot of tea in me, I'm an all day person.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's got to be a couple times. Otherwise, I'm bouncing off the walls.
You're a party animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am.
Well, why not just get the settlement and then use that money to like buy more sex toys and more tea? And
it's true. I buy a bunch more Wii Vibes and then get another settlement.
Yeah, check into it. Well, you know, for some people that I know that use vibrators, they say they love it because like if they don't use a vibrator, it really just takes forever to get off. But with like a vibrator, they're like, I can go like 30 seconds and I'm done.
That's me. That's me. I can go 30 seconds with the one that I travel with.
Do it like 5 days a week. I mean, five times. You're just like every 5 minutes. I'd be like,
that's the thing. I can do it in any point. The only time I need to not do it is before I go on stage.
Yeah?
Yeah, I can't do it before on stage.
You're too relaxed or what?
Yeah. I don't have enough like pep in my step.
No jokes tonight.
Yeah.
I just got off.
This is called an hour with Jeffrey smoking a cigarette.
The afterglow set.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if this is true for your experience, but for talking to a lot of gay men, they've in their teenage years, they try to masturbate to women or to images of women as a way to train themselves to be sexually attracted to women. But ultimately, they just wanted a, you know, hot dude to stroke it off to.
Yeah. Well, similarly, I was a lesbian, though, and only jacked it to women.
And so were you trying to masturbate to men when you were a teenager?
No, never.
Because both you and Mark sort of have a very... fluid sexuality.
Yeah, no, I never tried with men. I was a goner at Britney Spears, My Prerogative. She had this fold out poster that came with it, and like this was my Playboy. And I would like go in the bathroom and I would like tape it up to the wall in the bathroom, and it would be that iconic Britney Spears, My Prerogative album cover in full.
We used to go to the apartment complexes that were like up the hill from like the subdivision I grew in, because like every now and then there'd be like a purge and a guy would throw out all his porno magazines, because you know we didn't have internet porn back then. And so we'd get a stash, and it was always like, you know, it's great if you found a Playboy, but it was even better if you got a Penthouse or a Hustler, because at least there was some fucking and you'd see some dick in that.
Yeah.
So like, okay, there's a chick there, but there's also like this monster cock.
And so for talking to LGBT adults, there's a lot of anxiety that they're getting off in the same way all the time. And that's leading, they may be limiting their sexual life. And they're like, you know, for example, like one person always has to look at the same porn video or use the same dildo or same sexual position. And, you know, all the advice, the sex advice columnists and bloggers will tell you is that you want a variation in your mm-hmm. sexual release, because otherwise it stagnates your relationships and yourself.
It's boring. You got to spice it up. You got to do different positions, different stuff. But there are some people like there's things that are like deal breakers. They're like, if this doesn't happen in the bedroom, then it's just like, it's not a satisfying thing for them.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm less this needs to happen in the bedroom and more like, yeah, we'll play around, but we know what's going to get me off. Like, we know how we're finishing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you look at the eating habits of some Americans, for example, or the political affiliations, mm-hmm. like some people in the United States.
You're talking about vaginas here?
No, I'm talking about, you know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or whether you like to eat burgers and fries or salad. It's they're very stuck on what they like and they don't like to change that. Mm-hmm. And so as a consequence, they lead very limited lives and very limited experiences yeah. because of the fact that they're not exploring mm-hmm. any things that they take for granted.
You gotta taste all the fruits.
Yeah.
You gotta drink all the wine.
I tell you what, I've had a lot of bad meals in my life. Ugh. But it's because I've had a lot of good meals because I changed things up. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay to have the bad meal, even it's okay to have bad sex, because eventually you're going to find some good sex and some new things that you like.
Performance artist, post-porn modernist Annie Sprinkle says that sex can be sort of like going out to McDonald's and having some junk food. She called it junk food sex. And you can also have gourmet sex where you plan and you spend a lot of time and you develop that relationship. And yeah. and so that it sometimes it's a variety of sexual experiences that give you the most enriching life.
Yeah. So, you know, don't diss the Weevib. It's a new experience.
Just yeah. be aware that people, I don't know if they're still collecting the data now.
Well, that just makes me sad because I am curious.
Now, Jeffrey, you're hastily leaving Chicago right now because you got a gig.
Yeah.
A really good gig.
I'm leaving like the minute we are done with this podcast. I'm up and headed to the airport. Yeah, I got a Hulu show.
Hulu?
Yeah.
Is it like a Hawaiian Polynesian kind of thing?
It's Hulu as in Hulu Netflix.
Oh.
Hulu, and it's not just Hulu. It's Hulu, Amazon, all the iTunes, all that stuff. But it's a show called Coming to Stage mm-hmm. on Comedy Dynamics. And it's going to air on Hulu. And
they're giving you your own stand-up comedy special.
Not special, but it's
not so special.
What do you mean Coming to Stage? So it's more sex stuff or what?
No, it's just, it's for comics who aren't huge, mm-hmm. you know, giant name comics, to do a set. And, there's only two comics per episode, so it's me and one other comic featured. So it that's nice.
Do you know who the other comic is?
I do not know who the other comic is.
Do you get to meet them, or will they just splice that all together later?
Yeah, I'm sure we'll all meet each other because there's, I think, six of us doing it on one night, and they're breaking it up into three episodes.
Mm. So you're right now have about a couple of days or weeks to prepare a hot, tight 15 minutes.
No, I've got days, and also I've already got it.
You do?
Yeah, because
can you give us? Like, can you do the entire special for us? I don't have Hulu, so I can.
Yeah, I'll give you my login. but you learn in comedy that there are certain amounts of time you need. Mm-hmm. You need a tight 3. You need a tight 5. You need a tight 7. You need a tight 10 and you need a tight 15. And then every once in a while, which is a real weird one, you need a 11 minutes.
What about like, you need a tight, my cousin Vinny heard you're a comedian. Will you do a joke for him? Come on, Jeffrey. Just a joke. Just one joke, Jeffrey.
Yeah. Everyone says don't do that. And every once in a while you get so exhausted that you're like fine, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And you think like, it'll be fine this time. It never is.
Because they never laugh.
You just can't do a setup mm-hmm. and like set someone for a comedy joke. Like a real one, because it's a story. It's a thing that's happened. Yeah. You can't just start and have one. So now I just say I'm off the clock And I say, I don't make you work when.
But you can come up with like some a funny gesture. Like people come up to me and they're like, oh, you have a comedy podcast. Isn't that nice? Well, then make me laugh. And I just go grab my boobs and go,
you gotta have one joke you just rattle off, can't you?
Do something funny.
Even if it's a joke you steal from someone.
No, because
Amy Schumer,
I'm so disheartened by that moment.
I'll give you one. What do you get when you cross a whore with a leprechaun?
What?
A little fucker about yay big.
Oh my God.
Yay!
Just a dad joke.
Yeah!
I love
get
it.
Get a dad joke.
Dad jokes are not just for dads. Just so you know that.
That's true. But then people think I tell those jokes, and I don't.
Like, listen, if they're pressuring you against that for an elevator pitch of your comedy, give them a dad joke. Mm-hmm. That's what they deserve.
Here's my dad joke for you, you fuck.
I just grab my tits and I go, I'm horny. And that's all. And they're like, oh, I heard that. Oh, are you the horny guy? And I'm like, that's me.
You?
Yeah, actually, that was Tracy Tyler who came up with that.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's like... I'm as bad as Carlos Mencia or Amy Schumer, you know. I'm just like, I heard it. I'm like, because sometimes you hear these great jokes, and these people then retire from comedy, and you're like, I want the joke to live.
Yeah,
you know, it's like the joke deserves to life. I'm like a pro-lifer for humor.
Oh, you know? I think you can say the joke as long as you're not on stage saying it was your joke, and then especially you can say, hey, this is my favorite Amy Schumer joke. Mm. Super easy. I retell people's jokes all the time. If I'm in conversation, I go, oh man, this Bill Burr joke was so funny.
Oh, you mean your favorite David Chappelle joke?
Yeah.
Because you've seen those videos where people are like posting Amy Schumer bits and then Dave Chappelle like did them like 10 years earlier.
Yeah.
And you're like,
everything old is new again.
And I guess some people are saying that like comedians don't necessarily are always actively stealing. It's that sometimes if you just go for the obvious answer that somebody else will inevitably have done.
Yeah.
The joke
and
well.
Also like every joke has been done really because our experiences aren't that incredibly vast. The idea is you need to have your own voice behind it. So if it's a different joke about the same topic, that's fine. But yeah, a lot of times too, like I'll think a joke is brilliant and I'll think, God, do I think it's brilliant because I came up with it or because I heard it somewhere? And
that's called cryptomnesia. Cryptomnesia is when you heard something, you loved it so much, it became part of your subconscious. And then later on in your creative process, it comes back out.
Yeah, Robin Williams, they say that's what happened with Robin Williams. He wasn't actively stealing jokes on purpose. He just spent his entire life in comedy clubs and also drug-induced. So he would hear things and not realize he was kind of stealing a joke.
I heard if you called him out on it, he'd write you a check for the joke sometimes.
I heard that too. Yeah. So
why not?
It's a nice guy.
Now, there's a lot that's happened in the news. The big story when we were taping our show yesterday is Rachel Maddow tweeting, I've got Trump tax returns in the singular.
And so
everybody's like, oh, Trump as in the business or Trump, you know, as a cousin. And no, it turned out to be Donald Trump's the first two pages of his 2005 IRS tax form.
Yeah, his 1090 or 1040 or something like that. Yeah, so it wasn't like all the documentation. A lot of people were just like, oh my God, there was too much hype over it. She released like two tweets about it. So, you know, whatever hype it is, that's self-induced kind of hype. Yeah. Now, of course, you know, when we first started watching it, because we were like, we have to watch this and see. Within the first 5 minutes, I'm like, it's not going to reveal very much, is it? Just because the way she was talking about it. You know, I mean, she did reveal a lot of good points, though, the things that have been talked about recently. You know, where does he get his money? How does it, you know, is it coming from the Russians? What about this deal? What about that deal? How much does he report? And then when they finally show us the 2005 income tax, we're just like, well, what does this really tell us? And the only thing it really tells us is that he paid like $38 million in taxes, even though he's kind of always been like, I hardly ever pay taxes because I'm a smart man. And then also, too, he's got, you know, ideas out there to change the tax plan so that, like, if you went back and applied those rules to 2005, he would have paid like no tax.
Yeah. And so I think it said that he wrote off $100 million in losses. Mm-hmm. And so... he would have paid $140 million, but instead paid $38 million. Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people are saying that it's a big nothing burger, that the hype was too much, comparing it to Geraldo Rivera looking at Al Capone's vault.
Yeah, we were saying that as we're watching it. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to totally be Al Capone's vault.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It was because it was like there was all this hype, and you're just like, as she was talking. Well, I wouldn't say hype. She was laying it out. You know, these are very important questions, and these are questions that need to be answered. Is our president owned by a foreign entity?
Yeah.
And that's part of the trouble in relying on, you know, television news for these kind of stories, is because instead of ripping off the Band-Aid at the beginning and then sort of spending the rest of the hour explaining the meaning of these documents that probably were leaked, as the guy said on the show, they probably were leaked by Trump, one, to deflect attention from Trump care, which is going to destroy the lives of millions of Americans, and two, to actually sort of like answer the question about Trump's tax returns and his allegiance or to Russia.
Well, yeah, and so, and also, like, if I would say, and I am famous for saying things without any backup at all, and just my stupid ideas.
It's okay, you're on Feast of Fun, you don't
need it. Yeah, and that is that, I'd say, yeah, he probably did leak it. That's probably the year that he paid the most taxes, and that's the amount of document he wanted to release. It's from 2005, which was over 10 years ago, and it shows, hey, he paid $38 million in taxes, which... Already, Milo and all these conservatives are saying, oh, everyone said he never paid taxes, but look at this.
He
paid $38
million. He's the one that says he doesn't pay taxes because he's smart.
Yeah, but then Milo is saying, like, hey, check it out, guys. Trump did pay taxes. So he probably took the 1 year he paid the most taxes, leaked those two documents, and it's...
And they
great
act
for
like
him.
He was like, you know, he wanted to pay the taxes or something. It was just like, this is what the government said you had to owe.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Trump also wants to put Snoop Dogg in jail. This is not a joke for fake assassinating him in a music video.
God, I love it.
And he didn't really assassinate him. So it's, you know, it's a clown based video because, you know. You know, he's
Trump's
a clown. He's a clown.
Yeah.
And he has a gun and he shoots it and just it goes bang. You know, you don't
like
see
a like cartoon.
Yeah. A cartoon bang. You know, like a little flag comes out that says bang on it. And you don't see like Trump fall on the ground and die or anything. You know,
no.
So it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But anytime Trump can say someone needs to be in jail, he will.
I guess, you know,
lock him up.
If you're a rapper and, you know, some rappers sort of like exaggerate their outlaw nature, and if the president puts you in jail, that could be good for your career, couldn't it? As long as you get out soon after that.
Well, yeah, I would imagine. Well, and the other thing too, it's, you know, it's protected speech. It's, you know, it's art. I like to think, because, you know, Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart hang out together, and I don't want to remove any of Snoop Dogg's agency, but I would like to think that he and Martha sat around and talked about that, because she hates Donald Trump.
God.
You know? There was an episode where she's cooking with Joan Rivers, and they're just like, Donald Trump. Like,
tearing
totally
him apart.
See that there were so...
I didn't
this
know
is, like,
she
this
hated
This is back
him.
From, like, 2002. Well, you have to remember too, they're both like New York figures, and especially in like in the financial world, you know, before she became the you know, America's housekeeper, like mother cook, den mother, that kind of thing. She worked in the on the stock market in New York, so she's been aware of Donald, you know, since probably 70s or 80s.
Yeah, Donald Trump is that kid that like you thought wouldn't even barely graduate and was always cheating on people's tests.
My God.
And you're like, this guy's gonna be, you know, in a homeless shelter.
Yeah,
you know.
And you're ready. When somebody's that much of a dick, too, you're ready for them to get their due. And then when they still keep, like, things go well for them, God, that's infuriating.
Like, you know, bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people, too.
I know.
And it's frustrating. And so, you know, part of the thing to do is don't boo, vote. Get politically involved. I know a lot of the listeners out there, I know you guys didn't vote in this past election, you know? And it's like, and you may have gone to vote, and it was a three-hour wait line, and especially in those, you know, swing states.
You vote ahead.
You know you live in a swing state when you wait 3 hours in line to vote.
Yeah.
That's how you know.
Yeah. And the, you know, the thing is though too, is like, I was talking to some people and it's like, it's really about these, this 2018 election that's coming up. It's so very important because, we need to get, more Democrats in there so that when the census comes out in 2020, the new one, they have the facts that you can redistrict the they can stop the gerrymandering, redistrict different places so that the Republicans don't have a competitive edge. And so more than anything, that's probably the most one of the most critical elections in our lifetime is this 2018 election.
Yeah, that would be huge. I think I think if Uber and Lyft really want to help out, they should make Ubers and Lyfts to polling places specifically free or half price.
Uber does not like necessarily unions, and they are definitely not they don't provide their employees with healthcare. So.
But they do give them they do give their employees a free podcast.
It's a 10-minute podcast, and they're getting a lot of scrutiny for looking, or they're requiring them to listen to a 10-minute podcast before they clock in to start driving for the day. And the podcast, of course, is like, unions are terrible. And
can they opt out and just listen to Feast of Fun instead?
They can't. It's a specific 10-minute audio recording they have to listen to, and they're calling it a podcast. And it really is just, you know, propaganda.
It's training, you know, because you're not meeting with anybody. You don't really have a boss, so it's a training manual.
And in some ways, I think that's important, but I think it's equally important for a corporation to sort of make that more user-generated content and sort of, you know, open it up to having the actual drivers determine what that kind of information is. And so having maybe some more experienced drivers dictate what's in that podcast, as opposed to being this, you know, anti-union message that they're sending out
there. Right. And also, I've never worked anywhere where I had training every morning.
We'd have, like, in the restaurant business, we'd have shift meetings. So they talk about, like, different things that were happening.
Yeah, but that's because, like, the menu changes, you know, typically, unless something crazy is happening, like an event.
Well, I think that's a trend, in especially in Silicon Valley and tech companies, is that they sort of want to keep everybody on the same page because there's a lot of information changing on a daily basis. And so I think it's necessary to sort of like, good morning, everybody. This, you know, just like the police station, right? The police chief turns to the cops and's like, I want you to cover this beat and you go over there and that.
I don't think you've ever been in a real police station.
I watch a lot of television. But it makes sense to approach that. And from what I read in the way a lot of Asian businesses are run, they also sort of have that debriefing moment. And I think even debriefing your family members and your friends, I think, is really helpful. And so if it's just done right, you know, and certainly Uber is in trouble because of the fact that they, you know, they ran into problems with Austin, Texas. There's no Uber and Lyft in Austin, Texas at all.
Yeah. And other cities. There's some other cities that don't either. And I tell you what, it drives me insane when they aren't there, because
ride shares you insane.
Oh yeah. I refuse. All right. It took me a second to get that one. So,
thank you.
What was it? I missed it.
It ride shares him insane.
It doesn't drive me insane. Oh. I refuse to take cabs now. I never liked him to begin with, and they were so horrible with their customer service that I'd rather rent a car than take a cab. So when Uber and Lyft aren't there, like, I am lost in the world.
Now, another major news story, at least for us, is one of our favorite YouTube cooking bloggers is Auntie Fee.
Oh, gosh.
She suffered a massive heart attack yesterday, and the tabloid press pronounced her dead. And then the family issued another statement hours after they were done dealing with her in the hospital. She is in stable but critical condition. She's not dead. She's just pissed off at the TMZ for saying that she's dead.
Well, the TMZ says that a family member said that she had died. Oh, so they trusted what a family member had said. But yeah, she's in critical condition, had a massive heart attack. So,
And you know, and I said this before, it's like when we found out that Steve Irwin had died while in the water handling an animal. Like, I think we all knew if she goes, it would be a heart attack.
And Auntie Fee's real name is Felicia O'Dell, so she's not by Felicia just yet.
No by Felicia. She will fry again. She will fry more noodles. She will fry more things that are already fried again.
I was talking about this chicken with Ava Stiles, because we were like both really bummed out. And Vivacious. I was talking about this Vivacious as well. because, you know, when Auntie Fee dies, we all our fans call each other. And I said, it's like, you know, Jesus fed only how many? 1,000 men with one fish.
Right. The breads and I don't know how many people ate. There was a lot of people.
Auntie Fee fed right. millions with one packet of ramen noodles. Aww.
She did. She'd feed a family of six, I think she said. She said, this costs $3.25. It will feed six people.
She broke down the pricing of it, you know.
Yeah, she did. And yeah. she had so much. It was street knowledge, and it's the same reason I like watching prison shows. Mm-hmm. It's because when somebody lets me into their world that I don't understand, and I get to learn from it, mm-hmm. even if I'll never use this knowledge later.
I like how she would yell at the cameraman, because, you know, we do the cooking show here. She's like, I want to yell at the camera people, too, sometimes.
I've started to yell at the camera people, even though they're, like, volunteers. Yeah. And I'm like, so I try to do it, like, kind of lovingly, but even then, like, I notice that some of the people get their feelings hurt, and so after we're done taping, I'm like, don't take it personally, I was just trying to be funny, you know.
Like, I'm sorry, I was just flustered. There's so much talent pouring out of me.
Well, you just help us tape Cooking with Drag Queens.
Yeah, and it was so much fun.
You actually were assistant director.
Yeah, I was like showrunner. But it was fun. It was a blast.
You want showrunner?
I think assistant direction sure. is good, because you were like stopping it. You're like, Fausto, you know, turn to Mark and yell at him. I was like, hey, is that food ready, Mark? I'm frying as fast as I can.
It was good food, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And also, that was a good moment, too, of you guys. Because it was like, you never warned when he's going to yell at you. But this time, you knew ahead of time.
It's coming. Oh, my God.
That food was so good.
Mm. That's coming soon. It's a very special we've been working on this episode for 2 years.
Wow.
Would you say it was longitudinal?
Longitudinal study is when you sort of study for somebody for a long period of time, or you know, so sociologists call that. So when you're sort of following a person who's like 6 years old, and you want to find out what if they did something when they were a child affects them as an adult, that's called a longitudinal study.
Longitudinal.
Mm. Longitudinal.
Oh. Length. Because we've actually filmed the first part of it with Perfidia in the summer of 2015, right?
Correct, yes.
The summer of 2015. We actually have video of her working on one of Bob the Drag Queen's wigs that you see. There was the promotional photo for season 8, you know, with the red hair. We yeah. have her styling one of those wigs.
And she wow. was like, when Bob got on the show, she was like, put that video up. And I'm like, the episodes are ready. This is just a clip, you know? But it's really quite amazing. Perfidia is somebody who's been there since the very beginning. She was somebody who is a big part of New York City's drag scene in the early 90s.
Since the mid 80s.
And so sweet, too. Everybody there was good people.
Yeah,
and that's very nice, too.
It's a nice, refreshing change, isn't it? Now, most of the queens that come on Cooking with Drag Queens are great people. And, you know, it happens. Part of it, you know, I'm really glad that we can do this show and sort of show a very different side than most other videos or programs, or even the queens themselves on their own video blogs you get to see. And you really get to know a person pretty well when you put them in front of a hot frying pan and ask them to cook.
Under all that makeup and strapped and puffed and posted and makeuped up in a giant wig, that's amazing. I remember how hot I would be in my thin chef's hat.
One thing is, though, we are running out of money to produce the series, and the YouTube channel isn't bringing the revenue that we need to continue. So one thing we're going to look into soon is doing another Kickstarter, a more modest one, hopefully, to continue the series, because it really is just a great show. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, God, this is so much work, you know, but then you see the final result and you're like, this is well worth it.
I think.
So what else is going on, Mark?
Well, the big news is that RuPaul just announced that she's been married since January. She married her partner of 23 years, George.
They got
married on his
Jefferson
on his birthday this past January, and they hadn't told anybody, and they were just like, they were talking to who's the judge on the TV show?
Ross Judy.
Matthews. So it was Ross Matthews. She was talking to Ross Matthews and just said, hey, you know, by the way, we're married.
Wow.
Because I haven't told anybody yet. So congratulations.
Does anybody know George's last name? I think it's like LaFay or
something
like
that. It's
George RuPaul.
It's George LaBar.
Yeah.
just like Charles. RuPaul
yeah.
has a, you know,
yeah.
like if you put LaBar and RuPaul, so they're the RuPaul LaBar.
No, it's
because he's married now.
Charles LaBar.
Yeah, but
Charles LaBar.
RuPaul Charles LaBar. RuPaul Charles is his full yeah. legal name. Mm-hmm. But
RuPaul
now that he's
Andre Charles.
RuPaul Andre Charles. So RuPaul being married to George's LaBar is now RuPaul
LaBar.
RuPaul LaBar.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
RuPaul LaBar is his new name. Ooh. That is a fantastic name.
RuPaul LaBar.
RuPaul LaBar.
Yeah, but everybody will still just call him RuPaul, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, but RuPaul LaBar sounds like a southern gentleman.
RuPaul LaBar, have a taste of my candy bar.
Yeah.
It has some peanut butter and some sea salt.
Mm-hmm. It's from the old plantation chocolate. Home that my grandmother used to run.
That's right. Let me find some. This is RuPaul LaBar.
So are you excited about seeing Beauty and the Beast coming up soon? It's coming out
The Beast!
Soon.
And the Beauty!
Like you tomorrow. Know what? I just saw
live action.
I saw a new trailer.
Yeah?
And I do want to see it.
It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think it will be fun.
One fucks like Gaston. No one sucks like Gaston. Because they made him gay now.
Yeah.
Well, they made LeFou gay. His little sidekick is like, he wants to be Gaston, but he also wants to make love to Gaston.
I know, which I have a problem with all that.
Why?
I just hate the character.
Evil.
No, I hate the character that is hopelessly in love with the straight guy who will never, like, return. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll never, it'll never pay off. It's just the idea that he's a crazy gay guy.
There's something at the end, so maybe there might be a little, maybe it will work. Now, the actor that plays Gaston, Luke Evans, like, there was some kind of stuff, like, they gay-washed and whitewashed his gayness or something. Like,
really?
In real life as an actor, I think he's kind of like, he's been out of the closet before, but has gone back in, if I remember correctly.
Wait, the hunk that plays Gaston is actually gay in real life?
Well, there was allegedly. A few years ago, I think he, like, said something about having sex with men, but then, all like, in the past few 4 or 5 years, it was like, oh, no, that never really happened.
Oh.
Ooh, honey.
Now, the director, Bill Condon, he's directing the live-action film. He said that when they originally, you know, Disney had been tossing the idea of Beauty and the Beast around for decades, and they, you know, they were really going to focus on Belle because they were like, we need a strong princess, but then they looked and then they presented it to Howard Ashman, and they had such success with Ariel and what's the name of the, what am I thinking?
Little Mermaid.
Ariel, the mermaids, you know, and so they made a lot of money from that, and so they're like, well, let's turn it into a musical, and they still wanted to focus on Belle, but you know, he was diagnosed with HIV, and then he eventually died from AIDS, and he looked at the Beast, and you know, he made it as a metaphor for somebody with HIV and AIDS, and so it was like he really kind of like made the Beast more of a character than it originally was going to be.
Right, because it's like the Little Mermaid. Eric was not really a character; he was just
a
side face. Yeah.
He was a wee vibe.
He was a wee vibe. He worked some of the time.
So the character of the Beast was cursed.
Yeah.
Right. And he was cursed because he could not show compassion to someone else who was suffering. And so Howard Ashman felt that he had been cursed and he was unable to fall in love because of the curse of HIV and AIDS that he felt that he had. And so the Beast had a ticking clock that rose that was dying just like he was to find true love and redeem himself. And so Howard Ashman died, and you know, for the day that the news was announced in the New York Times was a very important day for me because I was a big fan of Beauty and the Beast and Howard Ashman's music. He was the composer of Little Shop of Horrors, one of the greatest musicals ever.
So good.
And so he was the name on that sheet music that as a gay teenager really like allowed me to escape my surroundings and my oppression and so it was the first gay pride parade I ever attended.
Wow.
And so I always remember Howard Ashman's death was the first, was sort of my liberation and my beginning of my life as a gay man.
That's amazing.
So, you know, I don't know. It's like, I really am very grateful to Howard Ashman for his contribution as a musician and his music, to this day really means a lot to me. So I'm very, very excited about the new Beauty and the Beast movie, because it also introduces this music to a new generation of people.
Yes.
And now we sort of have a better understanding of what the metaphor behind the Beast is. We don't have to mask it out. Mm-hmm. So basically, the Beast has AIDS.
Yeah.
But meets a very smart person that understands, mm-hmm. hey, this is just a stigma. Yeah. And that was kind of what was groundbreaking about the cartoon, is just like, here you have this, you know, really smart, intelligent girl, which we hadn't really seen before. It was like, you know, with Ariel, even she wasn't like very smart. She just wanted things,
yep.
you know, and she wanted to be this and she wanted to be that. But, you know, Belle wanted to learn and explore. Mm. And so that was very exciting. And, you know, we have also too another Cooking with Drag Queens episode coming up where we're making a Disney princess cake. And we've used the Hermione as Belle yes. to make this princess cake. And I got to tell you, the Belle is funny. The doll is funny looking, but this cake looks marvelous.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so I can't wait. So I'm putting a rush on the editor. I'm like, please get this out soon so that we can, like, you know, as this movie is hitting the theaters, we can get it out. And so hopefully we'll see.
If you guys want to make any contribution to help us speed the editing process, because this costs a lot of money, mm-hmm. Please make a one-time donation at feastofun.com/donate.
And if you make a donation, I can send you some pictures of what it'll look like.
Ooh.
What it looks like. Parts and bits and stuff.
You but know? It does cool. have it's a simple cake recipe. Mm-hmm. Do you want to give it away?
No.
We're not going to give the jokes away. You have to watch the episode. But let's just say that, you know,
she looks gorgeous.
She looks gorgeous. We did a nice transformation because that Belle doll was all over the internet. People are like, that's an unfortunate looking doll.
Yeah, there's a lot of forehead going on in that.
She looked like Justin Bieber in drag.
Totally. She absolutely did.
And then Jeffrey wrote a ton of jokes for that episode.
It was fun.
So, and Mark's like, those jokes are mine.
I'm the one who asked for it. I actually only used one.
That's true, though. Yeah.
I want to do a shout out to this Ukrainian judge who looks exactly like Ursula the Sea Witch.
You know, when you showed me this picture before, you go, look at her. I thought they had photoshopped that makeup on her that made her really look like Ursula. But apparently she really wears that makeup.
It's a different aesthetic.
She looks like Mimi from Drew Carey.
She's very Mimi from Drew Carey. And do you have her name? I have a quote.
Ala Bandura.
So Ala explained why that photo looks weird.
Mm-hmm. She did.
Yeah. So this is a translation. So I'm not sure if they're translating it properly, but I'll do it. I'll put a Ukrainian accent on it.
Okay.
To try to make it have more sense.
Okay.
We have considered the case. And then we were told that the photographer was going to come for publication. I in haste bought makeup, had to go back to work. So this photo, but in general, I take care of myself. Like every woman, I love to be with hair. Do not allow yourself to appear on street unkempt. Haircut I have short, but by nature, lush hair. In addition, I love to and in was. This is a very bad translation. she says, I am not mad at the wits from the network. It's just weird that because of some of bad makeup, I have to listen to jokes, but nothing will survive.
Oh, man. Wow.
Well, she does have like that really like thick hair and she keeps it short on the side. Could you imagine if she grew that out? It would be just this giant, giant bush.
Yeah.
So this is how I interpret what she said. So she had been awarded some prize and a photographer from a publication hastily came over to her home to take a photo of her wearing her medal. And she's like, shit, I don't have any makeup. I don't have my hair done. And so she went out and, you know, like, I don't know, for the listeners who are drag queens out there who are like, you got 15 minutes to put on makeup. You may not choose the right color of base. You may think that lipstick looks fine in the bathroom light, but when the flash of the camera go, everything goes to haywire, you know? And you may be putting on a foundation that's good for like, highlighting your cheekbones, but if you put it all over your face, it's going to make you look like Ursula the Sea Witch.
Oh, yeah.
And so she had this crazy haircut, crazy foundation that made her look like purple.
Yeah.
And these lips, and it just was like it was a perfect storm of beauty.
I have one of those instances. It's amazing you say that. I went to a thing called Cotillion when I was in middle school. It's a thing where seven seventh grade girls and boys mm-hmm. go and you dance with each other.
Sure.
And you have cards.
It's called a dance.
Yeah, but in Texas, it's called a cotillion. And it's a big deal. Yeah. And you have to get into it. And the moms are real weird about it. But one year I went, and it was like the first year I ever tried to wear makeup. And I got this powder. And I didn't put on anything else but this powder. And in every...
Your mother didn't...
My mother never really taught me how to put on makeup.
And oh, my gosh.
I wasn't a huge fan of makeup. I was just trying to fit in mm-hmm. at this moment with yeah. everyone in dresses. And so in every photo, I'm this seventh grader, and all my friends look great. And then I'm just a ghost right on the face. And yeah. everything else is normal. But my face is horrible.
And then it's also, too, is like depending on what the makeup is, some of that stuff can be reflective.
Yeah.
And so that stuff just looks so weird, and you're ghosted out in photos.
Oh, I looked so weird. And it's an unusual set of album.
There was a heist in Los Angeles. Anastasia of Beverly Hills, or one of the sponsors of Drag Race, they had, like, they say $4.5 million worth of makeup. That's over 100,000 containers of makeup, like a pallet, were stolen from their warehouse.
I think it was Fifi O'Hara stolen. Yeah. She's Why going back to that? Jail, Fifi. Back to jail.
The Bad Girls Club.
Oh my yeah. gosh.
Like, well, lady, I mean, all the how are you going to move that much makeup, you know?
Every yeah. drag queen, and this is the hardest part of solving this crime, Lady Bunny, every drag queen we know is like admitting to stealing that makeup on their social media. Yeah. Like, I did that crime.
Yeah. And you know what? They probably all teamed up because all together with all those drag queens stealing $4.5 million worth of makeup, mm-hmm. that's like one weekend's worth of makeup.
It's a lot of makeup to.
I guess they cut a hole in the roof, got in, and then just like took it all out.
That's like a cartoon.
Wow.
Yeah, but also.
Had a fishing hook.
Makeup's such a racket. If it was just the powder in its form, that's like. $100,000.
Well, I think that they value it as $4.5 million because the container, or like they sell it for $42 or yeah. something. So there's $100,000. So you multiply that. But what is the real value? Those things probably cost a couple bucks each to make.
Exactly. That's yeah. That would
but
be my point.
It's a loss in potential revenue, yeah, and yeah. so for insurance purposes, they have to report it as mm-hmm. the total price. Because let me tell you what, the insurance agency ain't gonna charge you your premiums mm-hmm. whether you get the full money or not.
God, I just picture a giant toddler covered in makeup and then coming. What are you doing? That's $4.5 million in makeup.
you love pandas. I noticed the back of your laptop has a sticker of a panda.
It does.
When did you develop a love for pandas?
A long time ago. I don't know. It was years ago. And well, like I wasn't little. I was like, by years ago, I mean, I was like 26 or something. And I said something.
Aren't you 26 now?
No, I'm a whopping 30 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you consider, so we known you when you considered yourself little.
Yeah, yeah. I was young in Jeffrey years.
Okay.
So, because I'm I'm turning 10 in Jeffrey years. That's a big deal. So anyways, I said something on a podcast, and back then it was two black women.
Uh-huh.
And we were super popular, and everyone, whenever we said that, I got nonstop panda shirts and panda items and little figurines sent to me like every week. So now you say one thing once mm-hmm. and then that's your yeah. thing for forever.
I love 5-pound boxes of money.
Me too.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Every week people yeah. send me money mm-hmm. every week.
Yeah, I the heavier the box and mm-hmm. gold is one of the things I collect.
Solid gold.
Mm-hmm. Solid gold. Not the solid gold dancers, yeah. actual
so,
gold.
So are you sick of pandas yet?
No, I still love them. In fact, I probably love them more.
Did you know that Mark and I and Michael Leah, this is like going back 8 years ago?
Oh, it's been a while.
We decided for some crazy reason to dress up as panda bears for Halloween. And then we were just hanging out, testing out the makeup and the look. And we're like, hey, let's do some, they call at the time lip dubbing videos. I was like, it's lip syncing. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Michael called it lip dubbing for some reason.
But that was what the internet was calling it, lip dubbing. Because, you know, straight people don't know what the fuck shit is sometimes. And they're like, oh, no, this is lip dubbing. And I'm it's called lip syncing. Thank you very much. And so Mark and I and Michael Leah started lip syncing to some songs that we knew, and Mark's like, oh, let me do Edith Piaf. What is the song? Non regretterien.
That's it. You did really great.
Pronounce it.
Je ne regrette rien.
But say it louder, so pronounce it.
They heard it.
Let's say it slowly.
Well, you don't say it slowly. Go. That's like, it's basically, I regret nothing.
But say it in French.
They can listen to it. Je ne
I want to hear you saying it.
I said it.
While I'm not talking.
You know what you do? You put peanut butter in your mouth and you try and say any other word.
Je ne regrette rien.
Yeah.
Je ne regrette rien.
So.
I regret nothing.
Okay.
Mark's like, I want to lip sync that song. And I'm like, okay. And so we turn on the camera without any rehearsal. And Mark, in one take, does this flawless Edith Piaf lip sync as a panda bear.
And there's all these little things that you would think that you put thought into, because you've got these little motions that like kind of punctuate little areas.
You know what it is? You just have to feel it and you have to channel it and it will come out.
That's it. You can tell when you're forcing it, when you're like, this song's popular right now.
I should have done a Celine Dion, in my breast, because I think that she got that from Piaf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pounding your breasts.
You hit your breasts and you go up like that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So my boobies.
The classic.
My boobies
Celine Dion. Yeah. You know, you've all seen it.
Yeah.
I don't have to explain that to gay people, right?
So you take your fist, pound your thigh nuts.
You just hit it once and you move on.
Your thigh nuts, and then you go on.
It's such a fantastic video because it's so simple, but it's edited very well, and it's so good that it's creepy.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
It's real creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a while, we were not known as the podcasters or the guys who do the Cooking with Drag Queens. We're known as the Panda Bear guys. Mm-hmm. We went to a gay bar in Lansing, in Joliet. And these women came up to us and like, are you the Panda Bear guys? And I was like, how the fuck would you know?
How did anybody recognize you unless you were wearing your panda outfits?
Because they have drag vision. Some people have drag vision and can see through the makeup.
I couldn't even tell inside. It was Mark.
Really?
No, not at all. When you said, that's Mark, I couldn't figure out if it was you or Mark.
And so Mark and I were like, wow, this thing's going viral. And, you know, there was all these marriage equality rallies. So Mark and I dressed up as the panda bears and went to these rallies. And the police officers there were like, is this a race thing?
Is this okay because Obama's president?
Yeah, is this a panda bear? Racist commentary? But
it was a lot of that anti-Prop 8 stuff.
Yeah, you know? Okay.
And Mark and I were like, black or white, marriage equality is a right.
Yeah, good for you guys. That's amazing.
And so there's this photo of us, Mark and I, dressed up as pandas, holding a marriage equality poster. That was done by the same guy who did Obama's Hope poster.
Mm-hmm.
He did a marriage equality poster. It wasn't as popular because, you know, not as good, as strong as the design. But so we're holding it, and you can see it on the show notes of today's show with Jeffrey J.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So there's our history with pandas. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey, it's a pleasure having you on the show. As always.
Yeah, it's always fun. And now I have great memories. I'm going to head to, what's your name? Mama Fee? What's the?
Auntie Fee.
Auntie Fee. That's what I think. I'm glad y'all brought it up because I think that's what I'm going to do at the airport. I'm going to
watch some of that.
Yeah.
And get hungry on the plane.
Yeah, eat some ramen, some cup of noodles while watching Auntie
Fee. If you like a 59-year-old black woman who's about to have a heart attack. Yell at her family members who are filming her as she's frying Pillsbury dough. And they're asking, what is this thing? She's like, I don't know what this thing is. You're going to eat it. It's a snack.
We need to name it something so people know what it's called.
It's the Auntie Fee thing.
You know.
Jeffrey J., it's a pleasure having you on the show. And you're such a great friend to us. And we just think the world of you. And we're excited to see you on Hulu.
Yeah.
The video streaming Polynesian named site.
That Hulu that you do so well. I want to remind folks, too, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus and become a member. Or just go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a contribution to the show, because it helps make this show happen and also helps us with our other projects.
Congratulations, RuPaul, on your wedding. RuPaul LaBar. Bye, everybody.
Bye.